But nobody walks down dark halls here. So why is it dark? And who the fuck is doing all that shooting? Lots of moaning. Lots of wounded. Ain't warning shots. This is the real deal. I take a Joe step forward, quiet as I can. Glass crunches beneath my high tops, and I know why it's dark. Shooter took out the lights. I hear a soft, awful laugh that makes my blood run cold. I shine my flashlight down the dark hall, and the darkness kind of absorbs it. I hear somebody breathing fast. I hear more glass crunching, and it ain't me. Pretty sure the shooter's headed straight for me. I flex my fingers, curl them tight around the sword. Ro tried to take it away. Told her I'd be her own personal guard if she let me keep it. I stand watch while she sleeps. I'm learning about trade-offs. What the fuck is moving down the hall at me? Later, when I tell the story, I don't tell the whole truth. Truth is, the unthinkable happened. I got scared in that dark hall. I felt something coming and it freaked me. I say I never got to the corridor. Never admit I backed out with my tail tucked between my legs, retreated to the light, and then freeze-framed back to the dining hall. The shooting starts again, and so does the screaming, and we all run. But there's only one way out, and that's the way in, so we're knocking over tables and scrambling behind them. Joe and me, we end up behind the same table. Long as she doesn't try any funky lesbo stuff on me, I don't mind sharing my spot. I tap the table. It's thick, made of solid wood. Might hold up, depending on bullets and distance. Oh, more screams. I want to hold my ears. I'm cowering. I disgust myself. I gotta look. I gotta know what the feck is doing this to us. Joe and I move for opposite ends of the table at the same time and crack heads. She glares at me. Like it's my fault, I hiss defensively. You move too. Where's Liz? She hisses back. I shrug. On my hands and knees, I waggle my ass. Whole Abby's falling apart, and she's worried about a little girlfriend. Bah, I say. She looks at me like I'm nuts. Then we're both poking our heads around the table. Bullets are ripping across the room, ricocheting off walls and wood. Blood spraying everywhere, gory as feck, and the screams keep coming. The shooter is framed in the door of the dining hall. Joe gasps, and I just about fall over, choking. It's Barb! What the feck's this all about? She's draped in rounds, toting the biggest Uzi I ever seen. White-faced, she's screaming curses at us, taking us down like sitting ducks. I gape. Barb? I mutter. Don't make no sense. Weird thing is, Joe looks stunned and bursts out. I thought it was Liz. I stare down the table at her. All I can see is her head, but she kind of shrugs it. Long story. I assess the room, the scene. We're at the back of the hall. We'll be last to die. What the fuck do I do? Why is Barb shooting us? I look at Joe. She's no help. Looks blank as the page I was writing the Danny Daly on. Dude, I wish Mac was here. What would she do? Should I freeze frame in while Barb's shooting everybody and try to take her gun? Am I fast enough? I don't want to die today. Tomorrow's going to be my day. And I just know it's going to be a good one, too. Sides, I got too much to do. Somebody's got to keep an eye on Ro. But we're dropping like flies. Holy feckin' crikey, Barb's wiping us out. I cram a candy bar in my mouth, whole, chew it just enough to get it in my gut. I'm going to need every ounce of energy I got to pull this off. I got to do something. Barb ain't going to run out of bullets for a long time. The mega can't cower behind a table and do nothing. I poke my head out from behind the table, take a snapshot of the scene, and lock it down hard in my head. I map where every person, table, chair, and obstacle is. Problem is Barb. She's the unknown. She's moving and spraying fire so erratically, I can't slam a grid of possibles down over my mental map. Fuck! I stare, trying to pick up some kind of pattern. I duck back behind the table as a shot zings by. Poke my head out again. Ain't no pattern. I pump breath super fast, puffing my cheeks in and out, kicking my adrenaline up. I ease my head out, lock the grid down best I can, and I'm about to give my feet wings when Barb goes kind of fuzzy around the edges, and the room gets so feckin' cold my breath comes out white. Joe makes a strangled sound. We both see it at the same time. What's shooting at us ain't Barb at all. Well, it is, and she's screaming, but not like the psycho rage bitch from hell I thought she was. She's screaming in horror. She's fighting for control of the gun and failing. She forces it down and sprays the floor, but it comes up again. She tries to swing it left, toward the wall. It yanks back to the right. Her fingers tight on the trigger the whole time. She blurs again. She's just Barb. No, she ain't. She's... Dude, what the fuck is that? She's got too many heads. Too many teeth. She's some kind of monster. And it ain't no shade. Oh, it's Barb again. Being forced to kill us. Behind her, a shadow climbs the wall. It's huge. It towers, it expands, and when it laughs, my blood clots up in my veins and can't get to my brain, because it's got so many ice chunks in it.
Where is the grand bish?
It roars.
I want her fucking head!
Joe and I look at each other. We get it. We both know what's got her, what's really firing those rounds, and it gets driven home like a spike through my skull that I ain't nearly the shit muck thinks I am. Me and Joe ooze real slow back behind the table. Just two brave little sheep, hiding from a book. The book. The one we've been hoping to find. Talking real big about locking it down again. Yeah, right. Just what the fuck did we think we were going to do with it? The nerve of it. It came here. Here, where it was trapped for so long. It must feel pretty fucking invincible. Pisses me off so bad, I'm shaking. It came here. Gah! That's so fucking wrong. I read Mark's journal. I know how it works. Makes folks pick it up. Me and Barb and Joe and about 15 others went into Dublin this morning for supplies. We didn't stick together the whole time. Split up and went off after different things. It must have got Barb alone and made her pick it up. I get a creepy chill that goes all the way up my spine so fast I get brain freeze when it hits my head. Feckin' A! The Shisadu rode back to the Abbey with us this morning. Right there on our bus. I was sitting on the same bus with the Unseelie King's book and didn't even know it. I sort through my options. I ain't impervious to bullets. Dying today ain't going to do nobody no good, especially not me. Don't know how to stop it. Ain't beating myself up for that. Nobody knows how to stop it. Don't dare get close enough to let it take me. Ride me? It could wipe out the entire Abbey in record time. A swallow. I'd been starting to wonder if it was looking for me. Guess it was looking to get any she-seer alone so it could take us down from the inside and gain revenge for its captivity. They're dying. They're all dying out there beyond my table. It's killing me that they're dying. And I can't come up with one feckin' thing to do about it. Got one chance, and it ain't to stop it. I grab Joe and freeze frame out of there. Ro's face is pale, bloodless. I ain't never seen her like this. She looks like she's aged 20 years in a single day. 118 she-seers were killed before Barb shot her way out of the Abbey, took our bus with all our weapons and disappeared. 100 more were wounded. The Shisadu paid us a visit, gave us a little look-see, thumbed its beast nose at us, flipped us the motherfucking bird of all birds. Joe and me, we sit across the desk from Ro.
You didn't even try to stop it, she finally says.
She's been letting us stew. She likes to do that. Potatoes and carrots, they turn to mush if they stew long enough. Time was I did too, but I don't cook down so fast anymore. I didn't need to hear Ro say it. I've been staring at the accusation blazing in her fierce blue eyes for the past 5 minutes. I don't answer. I'm done answering her. She should have told us. She should have warned us. I never ever imagined the Shisadu could pull a stunt like that. She ain't training us. She's keeping us small, afraid, just like Max said. What, I should have died so she could say, Danny tried? Feck that noise. Ain't dying just so she can feel better about things. Joe says, Grand Mistress, it looked like Barb was fighting it. From the information Jane and his men gathered about the book, we were pretty sure what that meant.
Oh, and now you're trusting Jane. I teach you. I train you.
Joe turns her face away a moment, and I'll remember that Barb was one of her best friends. But Joe, she surprises me with a little steel. When she turns back and starts talking again, her voice is steady.
She was going to kill herself soon, Rowena. Our first goal was to keep the book from getting a new body. If Danny had gone near it, it could have taken a virtually unstoppable body.
Ro cuts me a scathing glance.
Ever the liability, are you not, Danielle?
I make a face. Can't help it. She's always blaming me for something. Done trying to blow smoke up her ass. Sick of pretending to be things I'm not. Depends on how you look at it, Ro, I say coolly. And you're always looking at it wrong. Jo sucks in a sharp breath. I've gone too far, and I'm about to go farther. I don't care. Ever since Mac disappeared, Rose made it plain she'd take me back into her good graces if I'd cooperate the tiniest bit. I've been skirting around the subject, flirting with appeasing her just enough to keep her guessing, thinking I'll come to heel. But that ain't never gonna happen. I just watched 100 of my sisters, so what if they're sheep? They're still my sisters, get butchered. And this old woman stands and glares at me. At least I own up to my sins. I go to sleep with them every night, wake up with them every morning, see them in the mirror staring right back at me, and I say, dude, get over yourself already. How'd the book get loose, Ro? I'm on my feet, sword in my hand. Why didn't you ever tell us that? 'Cause maybe you fell asleep on the job, is that it? Her voice is tight and she's even paler when she looks at Joe and snaps.
You will escort that child to her room now and lock her in.
As if that's gonna happen. Nobody here can control me. Ever since I killed that hunter, I've been feeling like the dude that shot a giant with his slingshot. Ro can't feck with my head like she used to. All I did is say what everybody's been thinking but been too afraid to say. I ain't afraid of you no more, Ro. I saw the Shisa do tonight. I know what I'm afraid of. I back-kick my chair so hard it slams into the wall behind me. I'm leaving. I'm done here. I mean it. I really am. Used to think I was at least a little safe in the Abbey, but we got shades in the shadows and now the book snuck in. And fact of the matter is, I can make myself a safer place than this in a feckin' dark zone. Besides, nobody here will even notice if I'm gone. Maybe I'll check out Jane, hang with the Guardians for a while.
You will go to your room this very instant, Danielle Megan.
Gah, I hate that name. Sissy name, sissy girl.
What would your mother think of you?
She snaps. What would my mother think of what you made me? I snap back.
I made you a proud and true weapon for the right.
Guess that's why I feel like my sword most of the time. Cold, hard, bloody.
Ever the melodrama with you, isn't it? Grow up, Danielle O'Malley, and sit down.
Feck you, Ro. I freeze frame out. The chilly Irish air blasts me, and if a couple places on my cheeks are especially cold, I ignore 'em. I ain't crying. I never cry. I miss my mom sometimes, though. The world's big.
So am I. Dude, I'm homeless.
I swagger into the night, free at last. 7. Why did you hang a silver to Dublin in one of the white wings when you know the house rearranges itself? Why didn't you put it somewhere more stable and easily accessible? I resume my questions as we walk. That bipolar feeling from my high school days is back with a vengeance. He's everything I despise. I want to kill him so badly that I have to keep my hands in my pockets balled into fists. He's also the person who was intimate with my sister during the final months of her life. The only one who can answer all those questions no one else can, and who can seriously shorten the amount of time I have to spend in this wasteland of a reality. Did you take her journal? Did she know Rowena or any of the She-Seers? Did she tell you about the prophecy? Why did you kill her? Was she happy? Please tell me she was happy before she died.
No rooms in the White Mansion ever get completely dark. not even where night falls. I erred the first time I opened a silver. I hung it in a place that did. A creature I believed securely imprisoned, one I did not ever intend to free from the Unseelie prison, escaped.
What creature? I demand. This man who looks like a Versace ad, who walks and talks like a human, isn't. He's worse than someone possessed by a gripper, one of those dainty, beautiful Unseelie that can slip inside a person's skin and take over. He is 100% Fae in a body that should never have been his. He's a cold-blooded killer, responsible for butchering billions of humans, hundreds of thousands of them in Dublin on a single night, without a second thought. If there was a creature in the icy, Unseelie hell that he never intended to set loose, I want to know why, exactly what it is, and how to kill it. If it worries him, it terrifies me.
Watch the floors, Michaela.
I look at him. He's not going to answer me. Pressing would only make me appear weak. We've resumed the search together. He's unwilling to leave me on my own. I'm in no hurry to be on my own again. I'm still raw from what happened to me in the Black Wing. I'd gotten cemented in memories, and if Darok hadn't busted me out, I might never have escaped. Chasing barons, I might not have wanted to escape. I remember the bones in the Hall of All Days. I think of the beach in Faerie with Alina. If I'd chosen to stay with her then, would I have eventually died from eating food with no substance, drinking water that was no more real than my sister? Damn Faerie with its killing illusions. I push memories of sex with the king, with barons away. I distract myself with hatred for the man who killed my sister. Was Alina happy? It's on the tip of my tongue again.
Very.
He fires back at me, and I realize I've not only said it aloud, but it seems he's just been waiting for me to ask. I'm appalled that I've been so weak, offering my enemy the opportunity to lie to me. Bullshit.
You are impossible.
Disdain etches his handsome face.
She was nothing like you. She was open. Her heart was not sealed away behind walls.
Look what that got her. Dead. I stalk off ahead, down a brilliant yellow corridor. The windows open on exactly the kind of summer day Alina and I always loved. I can't get away from her ghost. I quicken my pace. We hurry down a hall of mint, then one of indigo with French doors that open onto a turbulent, stormy night, before turning onto a path of pale pink. And finally, there it is, a towering, arched entrance into a white marble hall. Beyond the elegant entrance, windows open onto a dazzling winter day, ice-encased trees sparkling like diamonds in the sun. Peace settles over me. I've been here in my dreams. I loved this wing. Once, long ago on her world, a sunny day in spring was her favorite, but now a sunny day in winter delights her more. It is the perfect metaphor for their love. Sunshine on ice. She warms his frost. He cools her fever.
You said Alina called you.
Darok says behind me.
You said she was crying on the phone, that she was hiding from me. Did she make that phone call the day she died?
He startles me from my reverie, and without thinking I nod.
What exactly did she say?
I toss him a look over my shoulder that says, "You really think I'm going to tell you that? If anyone is going to be answering questions about her, it's going to be him answering to me." I step into the white marble corridor. He follows me.
All you accomplish by persisting in your inane and erroneous belief that I killed Alina is guaranteeing that you will never find her true murderer. Humans have an animal of which you remind me, the ostrich.
My head is not buried in the sand.
No, it's up your ass,
he snaps. I whirl on him. We glare at each other, but his words give me pause. Am I being an ostrich? Do I deny myself the opportunity to avenge my sister? Because I'm stuck in a rut I refuse to get out of? Will I let my sister's real murderer get away because I can't open my mind to see beyond my preconceptions? Barons warned me from the beginning to not so blithely assume Darok was definitely her killer. A muscle works in my jaw. Each time I remember something about barons, I hate Derok more for taking him from me. But I remind myself why I'm here, and why I haven't already killed him. To accomplish my goal, there are certain answers I need. I eye him speculatively. There are others I just want. And once I get the book in my hands and change things, I'll never have another chance to ask. He'll be gone. I'll have killed him. Here and now is my one shot. She said she was going to try to come home, but she was afraid you wouldn't let her leave the country, I say stiffly. She said I had to find the Shisadu. Then she sounded terrified and said you were coming.
Me. By name. She told you Derok was coming.
She didn't have to. What she said earlier made it clear.
And what was that? What so thoroughly incriminated me?
I still have her message memorized. I dream it sometimes, word for word. She said, I thought he was helping me, but God, I can't believe I was so stupid. I thought I was in love with him, and he's one of them, Mac. He's one of them. Who else could that have been? You keep telling me she loved you. Was there someone else she was involved with that she thought she...
No. There was only me. She would never have sought another. I gave her everything.
Then you understand why I believe you killed her.
I do not, and did not. There are holes larger than Hunter's in your puny human logic.
Who else could it have been? Who else did she fear? He turns and paces to one of the windows, where he stands gazing out at the dazzling winter day. Ice-crusted trees sparkle like they've been diamond-dipped. Drifts of powdery snow shimmer in the sunlight. The scene seems lit from within, like the concubine herself. But there is only darkness inside me. I feel it growing.
You are certain that the day you had this conversation with her was the day she died?
It wasn't a conversation, but I don't tell him that. Although the Garda didn't find her body for 2 days, they estimated her time of death at about 4 hours after she called me. The coroner in Ashford said it was possible she died as much as 8 to 10 hours after she made the call. She said it was difficult to estimate exact time of death due to the way her body had been savaged. I refused to say, chewed on. Still staring out the window, his back to me, he says,
One morning after I left, she followed me to the house on LaRue.
I catch my breath. These are words I've been waiting to hear since the day I identified my sister's body, to learn what she did the last day she was alive, where she went, how it came to such a bitter end. Did you know? I demand.
I eat unseelie.
He knew. Of course he knew. It amps up all the senses. Hearing, sight, taste, touch. It's what makes it so addictive. And the supersized strength is icing on the cake. You feel alive, incredibly alive. Everything is more vivid.
We'd been in bed all night, fucking.
Tee the fuck am I? I snarl.
You think I don't know what that means? Alina used to say it. Too much information. It disturbs you to hear of the passion your sister and I shared.
It sickens me. When he turns, his gaze is cool.
I made her happy.
You didn't keep her safe. Even if you didn't kill her, she died on your watch. He flinches almost imperceptibly. I think, nice, real nice. Got that fake emotion down real well.
I thought she was ready. I believed what she felt for me would win in one of your idiotic human battles of morality. I was wrong.
So she followed you. Did she confront you? He shakes his head.
She saw me through the windows at LaRue.
They're painted black.
They weren't yet. I did that later. She watched me meet with my unseelie guard and overheard our conversation about freeing more of the Dark Court. She heard them call me Lord Master. After my guard left and I was alone, I waited to see what she would do. If she would come in, if she would give us a chance. She didn't. She fled and I followed at a distance. She spent hours walking around Temple Bar, crying in the rain. I waited, gave her space, time to clarify her thoughts. Humans do not think as quickly as Fae. They struggle with simple concepts. It is astounding your species ever managed to—
Spare me your condescending judgments, and I'll spare you mine. I cut him off, in no mood to listen to him condemn my race. His race already did that. Billions dead, all because of their petty power struggles. He inclines his head imperiously.
I went to her apartment later that day. I found her in the bedroom, climbing out the window onto the fire escape.
See, she was afraid of you.
She was terrified. It made me angry. I had given her no reason to fear me. I dragged her back in. We fought. I told her she was human, stupid and small. She called me a monster. She said I tricked her, that it was all a lie. It was not. Or rather, it was at first, but then it wasn't. I would have made her my queen. I told her that. And that I still would. But she wouldn't listen. She wouldn't even look at me. Finally, I left. But I did not kill her, Michaela. Like you, I do not know who did.
Who trashed her apartment?
I told you we fought. Our anger was as intense as our lust.
Did you take her journal?
I went back for it after I learned she was dead. It was not there. I took photo albums. It was then, when I found her calendar book, that I discovered her friend, Mac, was really her sister. She lied to me. I was not the only one who was duplicitous. I have lived among your kind long enough to know this means she knew from the beginning something about me was not what it seemed, and wanted me anyway. I believe that if she had not been murdered, in time she would have come to me, chosen me of her own free will.
Yes, I think. She would have come to you, with a weapon in her hand just like I will.
I needed to know if you shared her unique talents. Had you not arrived in Dublin when you did, I would have had you brought to me.
I absorb that and am furious. It's very important to me to pinpoint the exact moment my life started going wrong, especially now. It goes back further than I'd realized. The moment Alina left for Dublin and began heading toward the day she would encounter him, there'd been no hope of my life turning out any other way. Events had been set in motion that trapped me. I would have embarked upon exactly the same path through a different door. If I'd not disobeyed my parents and flown to Ireland to investigate Alina's murder, would he have sent the hunters after me? The princes? Maybe dispatched the shades to devour my town and drive me out? One way or another, I would have ended up here, with him, in the middle of this mess.
Because of your sister, I resisted harming you.
More than anything he has ever said, those words stun me. I stand half-dazed as they echo through my brain, knocking loose conflicting thoughts, nudging them to where they no longer oppose. Without warning, my convictions shift and settle into a new position. I'm startled by where they end up, but they moved with such logic and simplicity that I can't deny the veracity. Derek did care about Alina. I believe him. There was something I'd never been able to explain to my own satisfaction. I'd wondered why Derek hadn't been more aggressive, more brutal with me from the very first. It had made no sense to me. He'd seemed almost lackadaisical in his efforts to abduct me and had kept offering me the chance to come willingly. What kind of world-destroying villain did that? It was certainly not what I'd expected from my sister's murderer. Malooch had been far deadlier, far more ruthless. Of the two, I'd been much more terrified of the wannabe vamp when I'd first arrived. Occam's razor. The simplest explanation that accommodates all variables is most likely the truth. Derek had resisted harming me because of Alina. He'd restrained himself because he'd cared about my sister. Just how much, and how much I could use it against him, remained to be seen.
My deference undermined my efforts, and the hunters began to question my conviction.
So you had me raped and turned pariah? I say bitterly. How quickly he'd gone from deference to murder, because that's what turning me pariah had been tantamount to. Until Barons had pulled me back, no one had ever recovered from being made a mindless face sex slave. They died from it.
I needed to solidify my position. Then I lost you before I even had the chance to begin using you.
Who was the fourth, Derek? Why don't you just tell me? He'd stood there watching as the Unseelie princes destroyed me. He'd seen me naked on the ground, helpless, weeping. I calm myself by imagining the many ways I might kill him when the time comes.
I have told you before, Michaela, there was no fourth. The last prince of the Court of Shadows that the king created was the first dark prince to die. Kroos was killed in the ancient battle between the king and queen. Some claim it was the queen herself who killed him.
Kroos was the fourth unseelie prince? I exclaim.
He nods, then he frowns and adds,
if a fourth being was at the church, neither I nor my princes were capable of seeing it.
He seems as disturbed by that thought as I am.
I repeatedly offered you an alliance. I need the book. You can track it. Some believe you can corner it. Some believe you are the fourth stone.
I bristle. There's little I'm certain of lately, but this much I'd bet the bank on. I am not a stone. I was pretty sure Valaine had the fourth and final one.
Fey things change. They become other things.
Not people, I scoff. Look at me. I wasn't carved from the cliffs of the unseelie hell. I was born to a human woman.
You know that for a certainty. My sources say you and Alina were adopted.
I say nothing, wondering who his sources are. He laughs.
No one knows what the king truly did after he went mad. Perhaps he made one of the stones different, the better to hide it.
Stones don't become people.
It's what the Shisadu is trying to do.
I narrow my eyes. Was Riordan right? Was that what this was all about? The book taking on a corporeal sentient form. Interesting that both he and Darok believed this, as if perhaps they had discussed it while forming other plans. Plans such as killing Barons and getting him out of the way. After all, it was Barons that brought me back from the Prior State where I could have so easily been used. Damned inconvenient for them. But the people it takes over keep killing themselves, I say.
Because the book has not found the one strong enough to endure the merging.
What do you mean, endure the merging? Are you saying the right person could pick up the Shisadu without killing themselves?
And control it.
He says smugly. I inhale sharply. This is the first I've heard of anything like this. And he sounds so confident, so certain. Use it rather than being used? He nods. I'm incredulous. Just pick it up and open it. No harm, no foul.
Absorb it, all the power.
How? Who is this right person? I demand. Was it me? Was that why I could track it? Was that why everyone was really after me? He gives me a mocking smile.
Oh, trifling human, such delusions of grandeur you suffer. No, Makayla, it has never been you.
Then who?
I'm the one.
I stare at him. He is. I look him up and down. Why? How? What does he know that I don't know? That Barons didn't know? What's so special about you? He laughs and gives me a look that says, you really think I'm going to tell you that? I hate it when people throw my own looks back in my face. But I did tell you. I answered your questions.
Trivial questions.
My eyes narrow. If you know how to merge with it, why did you insist I bring the stones into the tunnel with me when you took my parents captive? Why are you so interested in them?
It is said the stones can immobilize it. I have had little success getting near it. If I cannot get close enough on my own, I may need to use them. I have you to track it, the stones to corner it, and I can do the rest.
Is it because you eat unseelie? Is that why you'd be able to do it? I can slice, dice, and devour with the best of them. See Matt Gort.
Hardly.
Is it something you are? Something you did? Something you know how to do? I hear the franticness in my voice, and it appalls me. But if he has some way of bypassing the whole absurdity of getting the fourth stone from Valaine, gathering the five druids, Barons seemed pretty sure one of them was Christian, and he's still lost in the Silvers. Figuring out the prophecy and performing some complicated ceremony, I want to know what it is. If there's a shortcut, any chance I can reach my goal in a matter of hours or days, rather than trying to live through agonizing weeks or even months, I want it. The less time I have to spend in this hellish reality, the better.
Look at you, Makayla, all flushed and glowing, salivating over the idea of merging with the book.
The gold flecks in his eyes begin to glitter again. I'd know that look on any man's face.
So like Alina,
he murmurs.
Yet so unlike her.
It's a difference he seems to appreciate. What is it about you? Why will you be able to merge with it? I demand. Tell me!
Find the book, Michaela, and I will show you.
When we finally locate the room with the silver in it, it's just as Darok described. Empty of furnishings, save a single mirror, 5 feet by 10. The mirror appears to have been inserted seamlessly into whatever the walls are made of in the house. But my mind's not on the silver at all. I'm still reeling from what Darok told me. Another piece of the puzzle that had been giving me fits clicks into place. I'd been perplexed by his determination to get the book, when none of us knew how to touch it, move it, corner it, do a single damn thing with it, without getting taken over, turned evil, then killed, after being forced to kill everyone around us. Along with wondering why Darok hadn't been more brutal, I'd wondered why he was hunting it when he'd never be able to use it, when even Barons and I had been forced to admit that chasing the thing was pointless. Yet Darok had never relented. He'd kept his unseelie scouring Dublin for it incessantly. The whole time I'd been stumbling in the dark, trying to figure out the 4 and the 5 and the prophecy, Darok had been following a much easier path. He knew a way to merge with the Shisadu and control it. There's no question in my mind that Darok's telling the truth. I have no idea how or where he got this information, but he definitely knows how to use the Shisadu without being corrupted. I need that knowledge. I watch him through narrowed eyes. I'm no longer in a hurry to kill him. Fact is, I'd kill to protect the bastard at this point. I mentally refine my mission. I don't need the prophecy, stones, or druids. I'll never need to align myself with Valaine in the future. I need one thing, to uncover Darok's secret. Once I have it, I can corner the book myself. I don't have any problems getting near it. It likes to play with me. My hands tremble with excitement that's difficult to contain. Trying to fulfill the absurd conditions of the prophecy would have taken forever. My new plan could be achieved in a matter of days, bringing my grief to a swift end. Why did you bring Unseelie through the dolmen in the warehouse at LaRue when you had a silver you could have used instead? I employ small questions to lull him, get him off guard. Then I'll sneak a big one in. Like most men who would be king, he likes to hear himself talk.
Low-caste Unseelie are distracted by anything upon which they might feed. I needed a short passage, void of life, through which to herd them. I would never have gotten them out of this world and into yours. Besides, many of them would not have fit through such a small opening.
I remember the horde of Unseelie, some wispy and diminutive, others fleshy and enormous, that had poured through the giant dolmen the night I'd caught my first glimpse of the crimson-robed Lord Master and realized, much to my horror, that he was my sister's boyfriend. The night that Maluch had nearly killed me, and would have if Barons hadn't miraculously appeared and saved me. I try to evict the memory, but it's too late. I'm in the warehouse, trapped between Darok and Maluch. Barons drops down next to me, long black coat fluttering.
Now that was just stupid, Miss Lane,
he says with that mocking smile of his.
They would have figured out who you were soon enough.
We battled Darok and his minions. Maluch injures me badly. Barons carries me back to his bookstore where he heals me. It's the first time he ever kisses me. Like nothing I've ever felt before. Once more he saved me, and what did I do when he needed me? Killed him! The silent scream is back, welling up inside me. Biting it down takes all the strength I possess. I stumble. Darok catches my arm and steadies me. I shake him off. I'm fine. Just hungry. I'm not. My body has shut down. Let's get out of here. I step into the silver. I expect to meet resistance, because I always have in the past when entering a silver. So I duck my head and push forward a little. The silvery surface is thick, gluey. I explode out the other side in a headlong sprawl. I scramble to my feet and whirl on him as he glides from the mirror with smooth grace.
What did you do, push me?
I did no such thing. Perhaps it is the silver's way of saying good riddance to the stones.
He mocks. I'd not considered the effect they might have. Tucked away in the rune-covered leather pouch in my backpack, I'd forgotten them. My sheath senses don't seem to work in the silvers. I don't feel their cold, dark fire in the pit of my brain. He smirks.
Or perhaps it's saying good riddance to you, Michaela. Give them to me. I will carry them through the next silver, and we will see what happens to you then.
The next silver? Only then do I realize we're not back in Dublin, but in another white room which has 10 mirrors hanging on the wall. He's made it difficult for anyone to follow him. I wonder where the other 9 go.
As if that's going to happen,
I mutter. I adjust my backpack and dust myself off.
You do not wish to know. Are you human or are you stone?
He goads.
If I carry them and the mirror expels you with such force again, we'll have our answer.
I'm not a stone. Just tell me which mirror goes to Dublin.
Fourth from the left.
I push in, but warily this time, in no mood for another fall. This silver is strange. It takes me into a long tunnel where I move through one brick wall after the next, as if he has stacked taubers, like the one in Christian's desert that was inside a cactus, only these are concealed in brick walls. But where? I catch a blurred glimpse of a street at night through the next silver and am buffeted by a chilly breeze. Then I'm blasted so hard across a cobbled alley into a brick wall that it stuns me. This one is solid and impenetrable. I'd know my city blindfolded. We're back in Dublin. I hug the wall, determined to stay standing. I've been on my ass enough today. I might be shaky on my feet, but at least I'm on them when my she-seer senses kick in with a vengeance, as if awakening after a long, resented sleep enforced by being in the silvers. Alien energy slams into my brain. The city is teeming with Fae. Objects of power and Fae used to make me feel sick to my stomach, but continued exposure has changed me. Their presence no longer incapacitates me. Now I get a dark, intense adrenaline rush from them. I'm shaky enough already from lack of food and sleep. I don't care where the Unseelie are, and I'm not about to start looking for the book. I close my eyes and concentrate on turning down my volume until it goes silent. Then Darok's arms are around me, pulling me to him, holding me up. For a moment, I forget who I am. What I feel, what I've lost, and know only that strong arms support me. I smell Dublin. I'm in a man's arms. He turns me around, drops his head to mine, holds me like he's sheltering me, and for a moment I pretend he's Baron's. He presses his lips to my ear.
You said we were friends, Michaela.
He murmurs.
Yet I see none of that in your eyes. If you give yourself to me, completely give yourself, I will not ever, how did you say it, let you die on my watch. I know you are angry about your sister, but together we could change that. Or not, if you wish. You have attachments to your world, but could you not see a place for yourself in mine? You are even less like other humans than Alina. You do not belong here. You never did. You were meant for more.
His melodious voice deepens seductively.
Do you not feel it? Have you not always felt it? You are larger than others of your kind. Open your eyes. Take a good look around. Are these petty, breeding, warring humans worth fighting for? Dying for, or would you dare to taste forever? Eternity, absolute freedom. Walk among others that are also larger than a single mortal life.
His hands cup my head, cradle my face. His lips move against my ear. His breath is harsh, shallow and fast, and I feel the hard press of him against my thigh. My own breath quickens. I pretend again that he is Baron's, and suddenly he feels like Baron's, and I'm fighting to keep my head clear. images flash through my mind, those long, incredible hours spent in a sex-drenched bed. I smell Baron's on my skin, taste him on my lips. I remember. I will never forget. The memories are so vivid. I swear I could reach out and touch those crimson silk sheets. He sprawls on the bed, a dark, tattooed mountain of man, arms folded behind his head, watching me as I dance naked. Manfred Mann plays an old Bruce Springsteen cover on my iPod. I came for you. For you, I came for you. He did. And I killed him. I would give my right arm to be back there for just one day. Live it again. Touch him again. Hear those sounds he makes. Smile at him. Be tender, not be afraid to be tender. Life is so fragile, exquisite, and short. Why do I keep realizing that too late? The brand on the back of my skull burns, but I can't tell if it's Darok's mark that scalds my scalp or Baron's brand that burns me because Darok is touching it.
Abandon your vows to drag me down and destroy me, Makayla.
He whispers against my ear.
Ah, yes. I see it in your eyes every time you look at me. I would have to be blind not to see it. I have lived for hundreds of thousands of years in the court of Grand Illusion. You cannot deceive me. Decry your pointless quest for vengeance, which will only end up destroying you, not me. Let me raise you up, teach you to fly. I will give you everything. And you, I will not lose. That is a mistake I will not make again. If you come to me knowing what I am, there need be no fear, no mistrust between us. Take my kiss, Makayla. Accept my offer. Live with me. Forever.
His lips move from my ear. He brushes kisses across my cheek. But he stops and waits for me to turn my head that last inch. To choose. I turn to vomit hatred all over him. He claims feelings for my sister and tries to seduce me, too. Can what he felt for Alina be so easily betrayed? I hate him for seducing her. I hate him for not being faithful to her memory. Neither of those emotions is anything Barons would have called useful. I have a memory to live up to, two ghosts to bring back to life. I focus on the here and now. What can be used, what can't. Beyond his shoulder, I see where we are. If I felt anything anymore, I'd double over, fist in my stomach. Clever, clever ex-fay. The bastard. We're in the alley, catty-cornered to Baron's books and baubles. He hid a silver in the brick wall of the first building in the dark zone across from my bookstore. It was right out back, all this time. In my backyard. He was always watching me. Us. When I was last here, even though I knew I was leaving to walk straight into a trap, there was buoyancy in my step. Barons had just told me that when I came out, with Darok dead and my parents alive, he was going to give me BB&B, deed and all. I'd had no doubt that I was going to get that deed. I was so cocky, so sure of myself. Darok watches me carefully. The games here are treacherously deep. Always were. I just never saw things as clearly as I do now. He has called me on my hatred of him and done something probably only a being that had been fey for a small eternity could do. He has accepted it and offered a full pardon. He has proposed far more than a mere business arrangement and waits for my response. I understand his game. He has studied my race with his coldly analytical fey mind and knows us well. By agreeing to be intimate with him, I expose myself on two levels. Physically, I get close enough to him that he could harm me, and emotionally, I run the risk that every woman runs when she's intimate with a man. Where the body goes, a tiny piece of the heart tries to follow. Fortunately for me, I have no heart left. I'm safe on that score. And I've grown damn tough to injure. My ghosts whisper to each other across me, but I can't hear them. There's only one way I'll ever be able to hear them again. I turn my head for Darok's kiss. As his lips close over mine, the duality inside me threatens to tear me in half, and if it succeeds, I will lose my best chance at accomplishing my mission. I hurt. I need punishment for my sins. I bury my hands in his hair and channel all those feelings into passion, pour them into my touch, kiss him hard, violently, with explosive feeling. I turn us both around and slam him up against the wall, kissing him like he's all that ever existed, kissing him with a full measure of humanity. It's a thing a fae can never feel, no matter the form they wear, humanity. It's why they crave us in bed. He staggers for a moment, draws back and stares down at me. My eyes are wild. I feel something inside me that terrifies me, and I just hope I can hang on to the edge of this cliff I'm on. I make a sound of impatience, wet my lips and shove at him. More, I demand. When he kisses me again, the last part of me that could stand myself dies. 8.
It took me a bloody fucking month to get back. I died 3 times. It was worse than the 1800s when I had to book passage on a steamer across the bloody ocean. Fragments of fey reality everywhere took down every plane I took up. I consider the possibility that by the time I return, he will have caught her, cut my brand off her skull, and made her impossible to track. Then I began to feel her. She is alive. She still wears my mark. But what I sense is incongruent with her situation. I expect grief. The woman killed me, and in humans, familiarity breeds a certain emotional bond. But lust? On the heels of murdering me, who does she lust for? I entertain myself with thoughts of searing my brand from her skull. When I finally arrive at the bookstore, what do I see in the alley behind it? The woman that summoned me to save her, then stabbed me in the back at the first opportunity, isn't lost in the silvers in need of saving. She's standing in my alley, kissing the bastard that had her raped and turned her pariah. No, let us be perfectly precise. She's grinding herself against him and shoving her tongue halfway down his throat. My monster rattles its cage. Violently.
9.
Mac! Hey, Mac! Didn't you hear me? I said, what the blimey feck you doing?
I stiffen. I'm drifting in a dark place where I feel nothing, because if I did, I'd kill myself. No right, no wrong. Just distraction.
Ignore her.
Derek growls against my mouth.
Mac, it's me, Danny. Hey, who the feck you kissing?
I feel her zinging from side to side behind me, stirring my hair with the breeze she creates, trying to see who I've got up against the wall. She's seen him twice before and would recognize him. The last thing I need is her carrying news back to the Abbey. Mac's teamed up with the Lord Master just like her sister, just like Rosette. Feckin' traitor must run in the feckin' blood. Rowena would exploit it ruthlessly, send every she-seer she has to get in my way and try to take me down. The narrow-minded bitch would put more effort into hunting me than she'd ever spent hunting Fay. A sudden gust ruffles my shirt, and my hair flies straight up in the air.
That ain't Barons!
Danny snaps indignantly. The name goes through me like a knife. No, it isn't. Ain't Barons, and unless I'm convincing, it never will be again.
It ain't Valaine neither!
Anger mixes with bafflement in her voice.
Mac, what you doing? Where the fuck you been? I've been looking all over for you. Been a month, Mac!
She wails the last part plaintively.
I got scoop. Pay attention to me.
Shall I get rid of her?
Derek murmurs. She's a little tough to shake. I murmur back. Give me a minute. I step back, smiling up at him. No one can accuse the Fae of lacking in the lust department. It blazes in his not-quite-human eyes. Banked in that heat, I see surprise he tries but fails to mask. I suspect my sister was a little more refined than I am. I'll be right back, I promise, and turn slowly, buying time to brace myself for dealing with Danny. I'm going to have to hurt her to get rid of her. Her face is bright, eager. Her unruly mass of auburn curls is tamed beneath a black bike helmet, lights ablaze. She has on a long black leather coat and high-top black sneakers. Somewhere under that coat is the Sword of Light, unless Darok sensed it and took it, too. If it's still there, I wonder if I could draw it swiftly enough to impale myself before she managed to stop me. I have goals. I focus on them. No time to indulge my guilty conscience and even less point. When I'm done with what I plan to do, everything that happens in this alley tonight will never have taken place. So it doesn't matter that I hurt this Danny, because she won't have to live through it in the future I create. The enormity of freedom that grants me makes me suddenly breathless. Nothing I do from this moment forth will ever come back to bite me in the ass. I'm in a penalty-free zone. I have been since the moment I decided to remake it all. I study Danny with strange detachment, wondering how much I should change for her. I could keep her mother from being killed. Give her a life that would never harden her, that would let her be open, soft. Let her have fun like Alina and me. Play on a beach, not be out in the streets hunting and killing monsters by the tender age of however old she was when Rowena turned her into a weapon. 8? 10? Now that she has my attention, she beams. And when Danny beams, her whole face lights up. She bounces from foot to foot, burning off excited energy.
Where you been, Mac? I missed you. Dude! I mean, man.
She corrects hastily, with a gamine grin, before I can make good on a threat I made in what feels like another lifetime, that I would call her by her full name if she ever duded me again.
You ain't never gonna believe what's been going on. I invented Shadebusters, and the whole Abbey's been using them, even though they ain't saying nothing about how brilliant I am. Like I must have accidentally stumbled onto him or something, when those stupid she-sheep never would have in a gazillion years.
She mutters sourly. But then she brightens again.
And you're never gonna believe it. Even I can't hardly. But I kicked a hunter's ass and killed the fecker.
She frowns and looks a little irritated.
Well, maybe Jane helped some, but I'm the one that killed it. And fucking A, you ain't never gonna guess this one. Dude!
She begins bouncing from foot to foot so quickly and agitatedly that she becomes a black leather smudge in the night.
The feckin' she said do came to the Abbey, and it...
Abruptly, she's no longer bouncing, but standing still, looking at me, mouth hanging open, but nothing's coming out. She stares past me, at me, then past me again. Her lips tighten and her eyes narrow. Her hand flashes inside her coat. I can tell by the look on her face that it encounters emptiness where her sword should be. But she doesn't back up. Not Danny. She stands her ground. If I had anything left inside me, I'd smile. 13, and she's got the heart of a lion.
Something going on here I ain't getting, Mac, she says tightly. I'm standing here, see, trying to think of a reason, any old reason at all you might be kissing that fecker. But I ain't finding none.
She glares at me.
Thinking this is a little worse than me watching porn. Dude.
Oh, yes, she's upset. She's just unapologetically duded me. I steel myself. Lot going on here you ain't getting, I say coolly. She searches my face, wondering if I'm playing double agent or something, undercover with the enemy. I need to convince her, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm not. I need her to go away and stay away. I can't afford a super speedy super sleuth interfering with my plans. I also don't want her around long enough for Darok to realize she could cause serious problems for us if she felt like it. Penalty-free zone or not, there's no reality in which I could kill Danny or watch her be killed by anyone else. Family isn't always born. Sometimes it's found. She said the book was at the Abbey. I need to know when. Until I discover how Darok plans to merge with the Shisadu, and am certain I can do it myself, I'm not getting him anywhere near it. I'm going to play the same game with Darok that I played with Valaine and Barons, only now for a very different reason. Called Dodge the Dark Book.
Like what, Mark?
She props her fists at her waist. She's so upset she's vibrating, shivering so fast that her edges are getting blurry.
Prick tore down the walls, killed billions, wiped out Dublin, had you gang raped. I'm the one that saved you, member, and now you're sucking on...
She grimaces and shudders.
The fucking tongue of an unseelie eater! What the fuck?
I ignore all of it. When was the book at the Abbey? I don't ask if people were hurt. The woman who is willing to ally herself with Darok doesn't care. Besides, I won't let it happen in my new and improved version of the future.
Gonna try this again, Mac.
What the fuck?
She fires. I fire back.
Gonna try this again, Danny. When?
She stares a long moment. Then her jaw pokes out stubbornly, and she crosses her skinny arms over her chest. She glares at Darok, then back at me.
You prior or something again, Mac? Only without the being naked and horny all the time part. What did he do to you?
Answer the question, Danny.
She bristles.
Barons know what's going on. Think he needs to. Where's Barons?
Dead,
I say flatly. Her slender body jerks and she stops vibrating. She had a major crush on Barons.
No, he ain't,
she protests.
Whatever he is, ain't killable. Least not easy.
Wasn't easy, I say. It took two of the people he trusted most in the world. A spear in the back, a gutting, and a slit throat. I wouldn't call that easy. She stares at me hard, searching my gaze. I focus on dripping scorn. She gets it and stiffens.
What happened?
Darok moves in behind me and slips his arms around my waist. I lean back into him.
Makayla killed him,
he says bluntly.
Now answer her question. When was the book at the Abbey? Is it still there?
Danny sucks in a breath. She's vibrating again. She won't look at Darok, only me.
This ain't funny, Mac.
I agree, it's not. It's hell, but it's necessary.
He had it coming.
I lie coldly. He betrayed me. She puffs up, fists at her waist.
Barons ain't the betraying kind. He never betrayed you. He wouldn't do that.
Oh, grow up and pull your head out. You didn't know shit about Barons. You're not old enough to know shit about anything.
She goes still, brilliant green eyes narrowing.
I left the Abbey, Mac,
she says finally. She gives a hollow laugh.
Think I kind of burned my bridges, you know?
She searches my face, and I feel another blade in my heart. She burned them because of me. Because she believed that I was out there somewhere and we had each other. I console myself with the thought that at least she won't be rushing back to Rowena to tell her I'm sleeping with the enemy, and I won't have a pack of rabbit she-seers on my tail.
Thought we were friends, Mac.
I see in her eyes that all I have to do is say, we are, and she'll find some way to deal with what she's looking at right now. How dare she put so much faith in me? I never asked for it. Never deserved it.
You thought wrong. Now answer the question.
I'm the only one who never treated her like a child. She hates being called kid more than anything.
Kid,
I say.
Then get the hell out of here. Take your toys and go play somewhere else.
Her brows climb her forehead and her mouth pulls down.
What did you just say?
I said, kid. Answer my question and go away.
We're a little busy here, can't you see? She's bouncing from foot to foot again, a smudge of darkness in the dark.
Fucking grown-ups,
she bites out through clenched teeth.
All the fucking same. Fucking glad I fucking left the
feckin' Abby. You can just go to hell.
She shouts the last words, but they catch a little as they come out, like they get tangled up on a sob she's forcing back down. I don't even see the blur of black move away. There's a burst of light from her Michaelo as she flashes into motion like the Enterprise entering warp speed, then an empty alley. I'm startled to realize that I think she's just the tiniest bit faster. Is she eating on Seely? I'm going to kick her ass all over Dublin if she's eating on Seely.
Why didn't you stop her, Michaela? You could have exploited her trust in you to get information about the book.
I shrug. Kid always got on my nerves. Let's go hunt ourselves a she-seer. If we can't find one, Jane's men are bound to know what's going on. I turn away from Baron's books and baubles toward what used to be the biggest dark zone in Dublin. It's a wasteland now, not a single shade left. When Darroch brought the walls crashing down on Halloween and Dublin went dark, the amorphous vampires escaped their prison of light and slithered on to greener pastures. Hurting Danny took all my energy. I'm in no mood to walk past BB&B. I'd have to confront the obvious, that like the man, the store is big, silent, and dead. If I walk past it, I'll have to force myself not to stare hungrily at it, have to ignore